the U.S. Air Force celebrates 60 years. NBAA cheers a House committee for approving H.R. 2881. And airlines will do better than forecast this year. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, September 19th, 2007. The U.S. Air Force has been marking its 60th anniversary as an independent branch of the U.S. Armed Forces, with special events and airshow appearances all this year. But Tuesday was the actual anniversary day. Secretary of the Air Force Michael W. Wynn and Air Force Chief of Staff General T. Michael Mosley released a statement on Tuesday which said, in part, quote, 3 days before becoming the first Secretary of the Air Force, W. Stuart Symington noted in his address to the inaugural convention of the Air Force Association, no Air Force can be created by legislative action alone. All the National Security Act of 1947 has done is to give us the green light. It must be considered an opportunity and not an accomplishment. Since that time, courageous airmen have pushed the limits of imagination and technology to fight and win the nation's wars. While the Air Force is a technically oriented service, it is our airmen who make our Air Force great. While we mark this milestone in Air Force history, we congratulate each of you. Total Force airmen of the U.S. Air Force past, present, and future can take pride in their roles in the Air Force's success. Your service, dedication, and sacrifice guarantee our ability to fly, fight, and win for America today and into the future, unquote. ANN adds our congratulations to the men and women who serve in the U.S. Air Force. The National Business Aviation Association stated its support Tuesday for congressional legislation to fund the Federal Aviation Administration and modernize the nation's aviation system through excise taxes, rather than new taxes or untested user fees. The legislation was approved on Tuesday by lawmakers on the House Ways and Means Committee. NBAA President and CEO Ed Bolin said the organization supports the bill. Quote, while no one loves to pay taxes, the general aviation community recognizes the importance of air traffic control modernization. The fact that the committee's bill dedicates the additional tax revenues exclusively to modernization is very significant, unquote. Among the other drawbacks of user fees, NBAA also notes they go up when industry can afford at least. In 2002, when air traffic was depressed as a result of the recession and terrorist attacks, Canada raised its user fees to cover its declining revenues. The International Air Transport Association this week estimated that while 2007 airline profits are on track to hit $5.6 billion, up a half billion from its June projection, the trade group is revising 2008 expectations downward. The IATA lowered its forecast numbers for 2008 from $9.6 to $7.8 billion. IATA told Thomson Financial it blames high fuel prices and the shaky credit markets. IATA forecasts a net profit of $2.7 billion for North American carriers in 2007, noting that's the highest among major regions. Expected growth in the Asia-Pacific markets has not been as strong as originally planned. European carriers improved profitability for 2007, from $1.6 billion in 2005 to a forecast of $2.1 this year. That's based largely on the strength of profitable long-haul routes. Northwest Airlines CEO Doug Steenland said on Monday he wants an industry agreement to schedule fewer flights at the nation's most congested airports to fight delays. He also warned that seat shortages and higher fares could result. Steenland's comments were reported in USA Today as coming in reaction to a parting shot from FAA Administrator Marion Blakey. In her final speech on the job, Blakey warned airlines that if the industry doesn't cut back voluntarily, quote, don't be surprised when the government steps in, unquote. Steenland couldn't make it through the interview, however, without charging that corporate jet operators contribute to congestion. He didn't elaborate, and his comments are not consistent with government studies of causes for airline delays. Up next on ANN, Dan Rather gives voice to a Boeing critic on cable TV. The Reno air races finish on a high note. And the finger pointing has begun in the Thai MD-82 accident. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 19th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Dan Rather carved out an impressive career at CBS News, but saw it come to an untidy end when unsubstantiated claims about President George W. Bush's military record were used as the basis of one of his exposés. These days, Rather hosts a weekly investigative program on a cable outlet called HDNet, and he proved on Tuesday night he's still willing to stick his neck out. Rather provided an opportunity for former Boeing senior engineer Vince Weldon's claims that the 787 Dreamliner's composite construction makes it unsafe for passengers in a crash, and his charges that Boeing is rushing the plane to market and covering up its safety deficiencies. Weldon is not a materials expert, but says he's worked with composites since 1973. He claims Boeing fired him in July of last year for raising his concerns internally and filed a complaint with OSHA, claiming his firing was retaliatory. Boeing told investigators that Weldon was fired for making threats against a supervisor. The Seattle Times reports it reviewed a letter sent by Weldon to the FAA. In the letter, Weldon reportedly alleges the 787's composite fuselage will transmit more impact forces to passengers than an aluminum plane, release both toxic fumes and inhalable carbon slivers when exposed to burning jet fuel, and pose environmental issues at a crash site. He also criticized the airliner's lightning protection scheme, which involves embedded metal mesh in the composite surfaces. Boeing denies the claims, and the FAA says the 787 will have to meet all applicable safety regulations before it's certificated. The Reno Air Races wrapped up an extremely difficult week with a Sunday program that featured clean, fast, accident-free racing. The day provided an upbeat finish to an otherwise emotionally wrenching week, which saw three competitors die in the space of 4 days. But that's not to say there wasn't drama on Sunday. Airline Captain John Penny, flying crowd favorite Rare Bear, won unlimited gold from 2006 champ Mike Brown, who had to land with a failed engine. After his victory, Penny discovered his throttle was stuck partway open, preventing him from slowing to landing speed. After circling at 10,000 feet to consider options, while the hushed crowd looked on, Penny eventually killed the engine and made a successful dead-stick landing, requiring him to drop about 5,000 feet from downwind to final. You can read ANN correspondent Matthew Russell's complete report on Reno at aero-news.net. As the flight and voice recorders make their way to the U.S. for analysis, officials in Thailand said Tuesday the pilot of the 12Go MD-82, which crashed on Sunday, may have dismissed wind shear warnings. 89 people are confirmed lost after the plane impacted a runway on the resort island of Phuket, slid off into trees and walls, broke apart, and burned. A Thai air traffic control official says the pilot of the MD-82, who died in that accident, was warned of a wind shear report from the pilot of an earlier flight, but insisted on landing. The pilot's son, however, quotes authorities in Phuket as saying his father had wanted to divert to Bangkok, but tower controllers directed him to land. 12Go is urging patience while the investigation continues. The U.S. Air Force has been rebuffed in its effort to become the central agency for medium and high-altitude unmanned aircraft used in warfare by the U.S. The Air Force has argued that the increasing number of UAVs used in combat requires better organization, and that single-point procurement would avoid redundancy and waste. The Army and Marines argued that their modern, fast-moving ground forces need control over their own aircraft in battle. And outside analysts have said competition in UAV development is helpful. And so, Deputy Defense Secretary Gordon England announced in a memo written last week that the Defense Undersecretary for Acquisition will create a task force to coordinate critical UAS issues, while the Joint Requirements Oversight Council will coordinate the development of training and tactics. An Army official said the services are already working together on interoperability and compatible data links. Still ahead, NTSB reports on a forced warbird landing in Colorado. Britain will sell Saudi Arabia 72 Typhoon fighters. And NASA promotes a veteran astronaut. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 and 400 are now available with either an Avadyn or Garmin electronic cockpit. The new Garmin G1000 equipped Columbia 350 and 400 have just been introduced with the new ReadyPad. While the G1000 panel integrates all navigation and flight instruments into two high-resolution screens, incorporating GPS, nav, comm, autopilot, transponder, and flight director into one easy-to-use package. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, September 19th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The National Transportation Safety Board is out with its factual report on the July 19th crash of a commemorative Air Force Beechcraft C-45H near Longmont, Colorado. As ANN reported, witnesses told investigators the aircraft appeared to be having engine trouble. The pilots are thought to have been attempting an emergency landing when the plane clipped some trees, struck the ground, slid about 100 yards, crossed a road, and knocked over a power pole before catching fire. Pilot Stanley Peterson was injured seriously. Co-pilot David Janakos received minor injuries in that forced landing. In its report, the NTSB states that oil drain valves in the engine rocker box recovery system were not fully closed when it crashed. The open valves likely resulted in oil leaking from the aircraft. A mechanic did find two pools of oil in the run-up area, with drips leading to the runway. The NTSB also notes the valves were not approved for use on Pratt & Whitney R985 engines. A formal report on probable cause is expected sometime next year. The government of Saudi Arabia has reached agreement with the UK to purchase 72 Eurofighter Typhoon aircraft. The agreement follows plans outlined in December 2005 to establish a greater partnership in modernizing the Saudi Arabian armed forces. Known as Project Salam, the program builds on the relationship between the countries and their armed forces. The Ministry of Defense tells ANN that both governments share key objectives on national security and global terrorism, and Saudi Arabia continues as an important strategic ally for the United Kingdom. The purchase agreement will be supported by logistical and training packages, including the opportunity for RAF and Royal Saudi Air Force air crews and ground technicians to train together in the UK. The agreement will also support thousands of jobs in both the UK and Saudi Arabia in manufacturing and support. Veteran astronaut Ellen Ochoa has been named the next deputy director of NASA's Johnson Space Center. The four-time space flyer has served as director of flight crew operations at Johnson. She'll succeed Bob Cabana, who was named director of NASA's Stennis Space Center in Mississippi. Johnson director Mike Coates says Ochoa has proven her exceptional capabilities both in space and on the ground. Quote, "We are extremely fortunate to bring her outstanding reputation throughout the agency and her wealth of experience to this new task," unquote. Ochoa considers La Mesa, California, her hometown. She holds a BA in physics from San Diego State and a master's and doctorate in electrical engineering from Stanford. Ochoa has logged a total of 978 hours in space on four missions between 1993 and 2002 and starts her new job after the next shuttle mission. And finally, Aero News has learned remains of the air crew from a World War II RAF Halifax bomber shot down over Poland in August of 1944 while on a special operation at the time of the Warsaw Uprising will be buried with appropriate military honors in Krakow, Poland, on Thursday, October 4th. The remains were discovered last year. The service, which will be attended by family members of the crew, will take place during the anniversary week marking the end of the Warsaw Uprising, which concluded in October of 1944. The Ministry of Defense tells ANN the Halifax, manned by a mixed British, Canadian, and Irish crew, was en route from Brindisi in Italy to drop supplies at a location 60 kilometers southeast of Warsaw when it was shot down by an enemy fighter close to the town of Dobroa Tarnowska, about 110 kilometers east of Krakow. All seven airmen aboard were killed. Due to the presence of occupying enemy forces, the remains that were discovered at the time were buried in secret in the town of Dobroa Tarnowska. The remains were later exhumed and reburied in the Krakow-Rakowicki Cemetery. In October 2006, the crash site was excavated. Aircraft wreckage, artifacts, and additional human remains were found. In accordance with Ministry of Defense policy and the wishes of the families, the remains of all seven men will be buried in a single casket. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, you can hear the story of the X-Prize-winning flights of Spaceship One 3 years ago, as told to an audience at Air Venture by Mike Melville, Brian Binney, and Bert Rattan. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCast. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, and Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.